The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, beginning with verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, that's the New King James. It's a little easier to understand than the King James, but let me read that to you in the New Living Translation. Now, I do not recommend that you use the New Living Translation solely as your Bible, but you can use it. I think that King James or the New King James, and there's other translations that are very accurate in their translations. The New Living Translation is really more of a commentary than it is a translation. But it helps. It's a tool that can be used to help understand the Scripture. So there's nothing wrong with it by using it that way. And here is what it says. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that makes it sound a little bit different. It's saying, listen, you have been born again, and now you have a new life in Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. They're all three God. And the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you, we have really got to grasp this. This, it is God living in you in spirit form. The Word of God says God is a spirit. And those who are going to come to Him and worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the Spirit of God comes in and lives inside of you when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. Now that's exciting, and that's also terrifying. It's exciting to know that we have the Holy Spirit and the power of God living in us, that wherever we go and whatever we do, God is there. He is present. He walks with us. There isn't anything that we can get involved with that God is not there. But in the same time, that's a little scary too, isn't it? It's a little scary because, and it should be a little scary to some people, because the way that we're conducting our lives and the things that we're getting involved with are not pleasing to the Father and to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So we've got to recognize that we have this Holy Spirit in us, and because of the Holy Spirit is in us, we can have this spirit walk. That's what I'm titling this message. This spirit walk that is different from the walk of the rest of the world. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature, the sinful nature that we have inside of us, craves to do. And our sinful nature craves to do a lot of things. It's trying to lead us in directions that are disobedient and not pleasing to the Father. Every one of us has to deal with that, our sinful nature. Some have different battles in different areas of their life, but we all have battles that we have to live with and deal with. That's why it's necessary that we have this strong spirit walk being led by the Holy Spirit. The old sinful nature loves to do evil. which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. We know that's true. If before you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you were controlled by your sinful nature. Controlled by your sinful nature and the temptations of the evil one, Satan. Totally controlled by it. And you lived your life any way you wanted to live it. And you did things that absolutely were not pleasing to God, but you didn't care. I didn't care before I became a believer. Not until right before I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Then I started caring. I guess that's what led me to the finally to the place where I made a commitment to receive Christ as my personal Savior. But before that, I didn't care how I lived. In fact, I cared more about pleasing my flesh than I did anything else in life. I wanted to do everything that made me feel good, in spite of what it did to other people, in spite of the harm that it might bring. I was very selfish. And that's the problem with this sinful nature. It makes you extremely selfish. When you live for your sinful nature, you will destroy other people because you don't care. And then Christ comes into your life. Does that mean that all of a sudden you're so loving and you're so compassionate and you're so, well, it does change you. There's no doubt about that. But praise God, he also recognizes that there's a process that has to go on in our life. And that is that he's dealing with us. He speaks to us. That's why we have this spirit inside of us that just speaks to us. You're hearing that still small voice? That's the Holy Spirit in you. And he's trying to get you to learn to walk the Spirit walk. Now, here's what I see happening in the body of Christ. Because this word here, the Greek word for walk, is not a casual walk, but an aggressive walk. It is a verb, and it means more than just taking a casual stroll. And I think that's what's happening in many believers' lives. We're just on a casual stroll, a casual spirit walk. You know, when I just go on a casual walk, if I'm walking out in the field, taking a walk in the woods, I walk slow. And I have intentions of looking around and checking things out. You've heard the phrase, take time to smell the roses? Well, yeah, I think we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to enjoy things. But the problem is with the things that I'm seeing in the body of Christ is that we're taking too much time to smell the roses. Not necessarily smell the roses, too much time to pamper ourselves. Amen. I think maybe that's what it is. Because you see, when you're on this spirit walk and you're just on a casual stroll and you're going along and you look around and you see something that gets your attention, you leave the path that you're on. And you go over and check this thing out. It's just a casual stroll that we're on. It's okay if you're not in a hurry. There's my favorite TV show. And then 5 hours later, you get up off the couch. Only to get a snack. Yeah, nature calls. Sometimes you have to get up. You don't want to. And there's nothing wrong with television. Not all television, anyhow. There are some decent shows you can watch. But you know what? If you can sit down in front of the television and watch things that you know that you would not watch if Jesus was in the flesh sitting beside of you, there's issues. There's problems. The spirit walk that you are on is not the kind of walk that he wants you to have. So I'm not condemning television as a whole. I'm condemning our attitude toward life and allowing things like television to get in the way of our relationship. You know, and then we might get away from that and we take a stroll and we go over here recreation, boating. Anybody in here have a boat? Because if you do, I'm not speaking directly to you. Bud has a boat. But I just know that that's one of the things that sometimes gets people off track. Yes, it very, very easy. I mean, it's enjoyment. It's relaxation. There's a lot of good things about it. There's nothing wrong with having a boat. If you got the money, have a boat. Enjoy your time. But if that thing takes all your attention, it removes you from the path that God has put you on. God wants you to enjoy life. He has brought you, he has placed you here so that you can enjoy life and prosper you and help you, and encourage you so that you can minister to other people. But anything in our life, it doesn't matter what it is, anything in our life that gets in the way of our relationship needs to be removed. God wants to tear it out of your life. And I know that I've mentioned this to you probably many times. You're getting tired of hearing it. But one of the things early in my Christian walk that I had to get rid of was softball, because it became more important to me than my relationship with God. I would sit in church on Sunday mornings. I couldn't wait to get out of church to go play softball. And I knew it was wrong, but my flesh kept saying, this is fun, and you like to do it, and you know, there's nothing wrong with you having a good time. And, you know, and then God used, or the Holy Spirit used my wife to tell me it was wrong, that I was taking too much time. Now, you know, I make sure that everybody understands that your spouse does not need you to be the Holy Spirit in their life. If you are nagging, complaining, stirring up strife in your family because you are trying to be the Holy Spirit to your spouse, stop it. And yet, there's nothing wrong with you pointing out to your spouse where they are in error. But to continue pointing it out becomes nagging. And the Word of God makes it perfectly clear. Gentlemen, for you, this is for you. It is better to live on the roof in the open than in a large house with a nagging woman. That's Proverbs. And what's the one that you use against me? Or for me, I should say. Oh, yeah, a soft answer turns away wrath. Isn't that good?
That's a good one.
She uses that. And you know, it's effective. What do I say? You know? Yeah, I get angry. Come on, we are human.
That's right. Amen.
And we have emotions. And sometimes, yes, you know, I don't get angry like I used to, but I still get angry, and I still sometimes say things that I shouldn't say. And what a great comeback, because I can't defend, you know, I can't get mad about that. I do, but I shouldn't. Soft answer turns away wrath. So what a wonderful response and a way to deal with conflict. Now, here's what we got to understand. In this spirit walk with our spouse, our family, there's going to be opportunities for us to allow our flesh to overcome us. We're going to have opportunities to become angry. We're going to have opportunities to desire to get our way. We're going to have opportunities to harbor hard feelings. And the Word of God, you know, the Bible is very clear about us not allowing our flesh to overcome our spirit. That's what it's all about walking or having a spirit walk, walking in the proper frame of mind. So when we do have conflict, there should be, you know, you're going to have conflict with your spouse. Have some ground rules. There's certain things that should never be said when you're angry with your spouse. You should never talk about divorce. Ever. You should never say anything that would personally cut them or hurt them. You're going to have times when you get upset with your spouse. But in doing so, you need to make sure that you keep it clean and you deal with the issue so the issue can be set aside and it doesn't keep coming back up. Because what we do is we take those things and we use them as bullets and we put them in our, what's that, a bandolier where westerns, I think that's what it's called, bandolier. And they put their bullets, they hold their bullets in that. Well, that's what we do. We get in an argument and someone and our spouse says something to us and we take that and we put it in there and they've done something and we put that bullet in our bandolier. And so when we get in the next argument, we take our six shooter out, we put that bullet in and we bring it up. We've got six or seven of them in there that we shoot at our spouse. You remember when you did this? You remember when you said that? You know, that's harboring. Hard feelings. Unforgiveness. Not making you real happy this morning, am I? The spirit walk, you know, it can be difficult at times, but it's extremely rewarding. When we recognize and we get a hold of the things of God, and we begin to walk in the spirit rather than walk in the flesh, it changes everything. It changes your family life. It changes your work life. It changes your relationships with other people, whoever they are, wherever they are. It changes your extended family relationships. You begin to have a better outlook on life. Amen. Because you're not creating problems for yourself. Yes. We have enough problems in this life without creating our own. Yes. Amen? Amen. So what we need to recognize is that this scripture is telling us something that is very important. Listen to the spirit that lives inside of you. And walk aggressively with the Lord. What does it look like to walk aggressively with the Lord? It means that everywhere you go, whatever you do, if you're in your boat, you're walking aggressively with the Lord. It doesn't get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. If you're watching a television program, you're not watching something that hinders your relationship with the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No matter where you go or whatever, if you're on the job, you're doing it as unto the Lord.
That's right.
It's the whole life. There is a little known Olympic sport that Joe Boyles knows quite a bit about, race walking. Isn't that what it's called? Yes. Okay, Joe knows because his son, is it a collegiate sport?
Yes,
okay. I've not seen any collegiate competitions, but it is. It's definitely an Olympic sport. It's a collegiate sport. And your son, Matt, has participated on a collegiate level and tried out for the Olympics, right? Is he trying out again?
No, I think he's
retired. Has he? Okay. Well, anyhow, I mean, you know, You have to train extensively to do this. There's a 50 kilometer, is that, race that is longer than a marathon. And it is not just a casual stroll. If you've ever seen these guys, they are getting it. They put it down and they move. They are on the verge of running, but they can't run. They're not allowed to run. Now, I know very little about it, but I do know this, that before the back foot comes up, see, the front foot has to be down, right? When they're walking. So they're not running, and the front leg has to be stiff. So if you've ever seen this, it is kind of funky looking, right? I'm not making fun of anybody, but, you know, it's a wiggle thing. And thank you for laughing at me. Yeah, that's probably right. And there's technique to it. You have to do it properly. You have to learn to do it properly. And you have to do everything according to the rules. When you break the rules, it's infractions. And if you break the rules enough, you're disqualified. So you have to do it right. But it is extremely aggressive walking. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to walking in the Spirit. This is an aggressive walk.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We've got to stop taking it so casual. We got to recognize that, look, yeah, there's some pretty things over here and over there, but I'm walking toward the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to reach a goal. I want to accomplish something. And I can't let all this stuff in the world keep me from doing what God wants me to do. That stuff is there for my pleasure. Don't allow it to become your God. Serve the living God.
Yes.
Walk in the Spirit. Have this spirit walk that's an aggressive spirit walk, and I'm going to get to where I'm going, and nothing's going to stop me.
Yes,
nothing's going to get in the way.
Amen.
Nothing's going to hold me back.
Help me,
I'm going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. My ultimate goal is heaven, but there's a lot of things I need to accomplish while I'm here on this earth, and you need to accomplish. And when the body of Christ catches hold of this reality, that we have this spirit walk, that we can walk out every day of our life, and we can see miraculous things take place in people's lives, salvations, healings, all kinds of stuff. Marriage is healed and brought back together. I'm talking about the body of Christ can be used in such things. It's us working together to accomplish God's will. But there are rules that we have to follow. Not legalism, but certain rules that we have to stay within. Guidelines. When I was in Texas, my oldest granddaughter is going to play upward basketball down there. This will be her first year of playing. So I took her outside and we were practicing basketball, and I was teaching her how to shoot properly. And I taught her the five basic steps to a proper shot. First of all, you align yourself with the basket, your feet shoulder width apart, you catch the ball properly. For her, it was 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock because she's left-handed. Which, you know, that was a little hard for me to help her. But, and then you keep your elbow square with the rim and you follow through. So, you know, I taught her those principles. Now, if she, I drilled them in her while I was there, and I talked to her over and over and over about it. Now, she's responsible now, but I'm not there. She's going to have to remember the things that I taught her. And that's where we are in the body of Christ.
That's
We, in this spirit walk that we are on, we have to remember the things that Jesus taught us. The great thing is that we can keep going back to them and referring to them.
That's right.
They're there. They're in print for us. And we can refer to them, and we can see what Jesus wants us and how he wants us to live our lives so that we have the proper rules, guidelines for walking this spirit walk every day. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. That doesn't mean that if you make a mistake, if you fall down, that it's over. You know, like I said with race walking, there comes a time when you're disqualified. We're not disqualified. You will never be disqualified in the body of Christ. You will never be disqualified by God. As long as you have a desire to serve him and seek his heart. You might do things wrong. You might make mistakes. But you're not down for the count. You are either up or you're getting up. Amen?
Amen, sir.
And we got to help each other get up. You know, sometimes somebody gets down, we stomp on him in the body of Christ. We don't want to do that. We want to help people up. The Word of God says how important it is for us to help somebody be removed from sin, saving that soul. Hallelujah. So the first thing that we want to do is make sure that we're not walking casually with the Lord. It's an aggressive walk. Hallelujah. The second thing I want to share with you is that it's not a hyper-spiritual walk. In the Americanized church, we've created a body of that is ADD. And we've done so. Now, you're going to think I'm being critical of this, but I'm really not. We've done so with technology. And the church needs to live in the 21st century. I don't have any problem with that. But we have created an atmosphere where people need excitement and are looking for excitement. So when they come into the church, you know, they like the big screen, like the music, the contemporary worship. It's great. They like the other forms of worship, the dance and all these things that are going on. But if we're not careful, we create people who are needing and wanting an infusion of excitement on a higher level week after week after week. And you just get to the point where you can't do it anymore. That's the reason I believe that a lot of pastors are being worn out. Because they're trying to move up a level every week. Whether it is with their sermon, with the music, with the drama, whatever it is. They're trying to bring a new level of excitement because people are living carnally and not spiritually. And we're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking according to the flesh. And the flesh gets stirred up by these things. Now, please hear me. I'm not condemning any of them. I'm merely pointing out what I see happening in the body of Christ. Having gone to Jessica's church on last Sunday, and I've noticed this before. I've never really said anything about it. And it's a good church, and they're doing their best to help people, encourage people, and love people, and share the gospel, and it's growing like crazy. But one of the things that I noticed was there were more people carrying their lattes, flavored coffee, is that what it is, into the church than were carrying Bibles.
Well,
Now, I mentioned this Wednesday night, and one of the people said, well, you know, you can't really judge whether people have a Bible with them these days or not, because Crystal has hers on her phone, Tammy's looking at, you know, iPads, you know, they were probably there. But I think it's what I'm seeing, you know, I saw that as an outward manifestation of what I'm seeing in the overall body of Christ, that people are just not connected in a spiritual walk with the Lord. And I want them to be. I want this body to be. I don't want it to be about the excitement of praise and worship, although we have the most exciting praise and worship in the area. Praise God. And that's wonderful. But if that's the only reason you come, you're missing it. I don't want it to be about, well, what's Pastor Rob going to come up with this week? Or what stupid thing is he going to say? You know, something that makes this place exciting. I don't want it to be about that. I want it to be about the Word of God that is being infused into your life so that you can have the spirit walk that you need. So that you're overcoming the flesh, not walking in the flesh, but walking in the spirit. And it's manifest in your relationship with your spouse. It's manifest in your relationship with your children. It's manifest in your relationship with people at work. People can look at you and say, there's something different about those people that go to Bethel Worship Center.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I want.
That's right.
Because it's good for everyone. Good for us, and it's good for the community. So we want to be careful that we're not getting hyper spiritual or just getting an excitement out about of being in the body of Christ. Because people will lose interest in our church if that's all it is. They'll walk away. Because you cannot maintain that kind of level of excitement for long periods of time. Now, there's going to be waves, and that's what I like about serving God and being a part of the body of Christ, is that you sometimes you can see a wave coming. Just like a surfer paddles out there, and they wait for the wave, and they can see that coming before it ever gets there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to catch it. But they see that wave coming. And if they're experienced, they can judge just how big that wave's going to be. Or at least whether it's going to be a nice wave or a flop. And they work hard to get out there. And that's what we have to do sometimes in the church. We work hard to get in position so that when God sends the wave, we're ready for it. And it happens. We get waves in this church. We've had waves of excitement. But eventually that wave crests, it dissipates to some extent, and you can't live on the excitement of the wave. You've got to recognize that the wave's going to go away, and there's going to be another one. But praise God, we're going to live our life to serve God, whether we're on a wave or we're on the beach. Doesn't matter. We're consistent. We're persistent. We're on this aggressive walk that's going to keep us on the straight and narrow, following our God. We'll have more to say about that this morning, but I'm out of time. I'm going to ask you to stand with me.